This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
A very fine evening to you, one and all, and thank you for joining me on Hide and Seek tonight. Solo again, 3 weeks in a row. What is going on? The boys will be back next week. I'm going to take a little while off Hide and Seek because, there's some news in that front. Great show for you tonight. We're going to have some fun with Toby Halligan, who actually, for a comedian, has a day job, which is extraordinary, but we'll get to that. He's a very funny man who likes to stick his nose in political business, so we'll find out his take on the latest and greatest politically, amongst other things. And we'll also share with you some of the developments that are happening here at Joy. You've just heard the boys are taking a rest prior to this show. There are other new developments that are coming your way soon.
Joy 94.9.
Certainly are. Dean Beck with you and my very special guest for this Melbourne International Comedy Festival edition is Toby Halligan. Welcome, sir.
Hello. It's a delight and a pleasure.
Well, indeed, I'm sure it is. Thank you very much for joining us. You are a comedian with a job, which is well, it's rare. I mean, like, you're not in a cafe making coffee.
No, it's true. Yeah. I've got a very exciting, very dynamic, very tiring at times job. Yes, yeah. At the project on Channel 10. Yeah.
Writing one-liners or what? Writing content?
We write a whole blend of things. Okay. So we kind of write little sketches for kind of some of the larger packages that occur within the show. We help manage the social media and the website. Mm-hmm. We do write one-liners for kicking around off the lighthearted stories. We help pick the lighthearted stories, you know.
Okay.
Like, so, for example, we this didn't wind up getting on the show, but the writers' room got quite obsessed with a news story that was doing the rounds last week about the world's first horse suit. So it was a tweed suit for a horse, and the horse just looked great, and we were really all pretty pleased about that, and we weren't able to get it on the show, though, you know, like there were other whatever news stories, you know, they're relatable to humans in one way or another.
People don't realize this, but it takes quite an effort for a story to get up. I did some 3 hours worth of footage with the project production team.
Mm-hmm.
For a story that was on air for, it took 6 weeks for it to air from when they recorded that footage.
Yeah.
And my contribution to that footage was lucky to have been 40 seconds all up.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Well, I think that's kind of what winds up happening, you know, because the nature of the show is it's so fast-paced and you've got to compact a story into, you know, like, if you're lucky, a two-minute segment to explain kind of things to people. It really does mean you've got to cram a huge amount in. So, and it also means that, like, it's interesting kind of the way that the internet and television are kind of gradually integrating, do you know what I mean? Like, because often, like, stories will, in order to get a quick laugh, you'll you know, like, funny clips or very quick one-liners, like quips, like it's kind of like Twitter or a random cat video or a kangaroo falling off a trampoline or whatever.
What they also, which I love, is that the offcuts of footage, like whether they're doorstops with politicians or whatever, the bits that you never see in the news bulletin as they're walking away or approaching them, that stuff, hilarious.
Yeah, well, that's the most interesting stuff. I think it's the stuff that provides you with far more insight into what politicians actually do, because the stage-managed stuff, like, the reality is I think anyone can actually do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like anyone, you know, if given a script and rehearsing it enough, can read out a script successfully. Some people are going to be better at it than others, obviously, sure. But it's those little natural moments where people reveal their true colours. Like, one of my favourite Tony Abbott moments was when there was a funny of him at a supermarket and a guy walked past him and, you know, Tony, you know, said, "Hey, mate, how are you?" And he says, "You dickhead." Yeah. And Tony said, "Good on you, mate," right? And you kind of, like, you know, Tony Abbott is, I think, one of the worst leaders Australia's ever had, but it kind of provided a little insight into his character, into his like likability. Like, it makes gave you a bit of insight into why people, you know, the people who love him and like him, you know, his ability to handle that.
Look, he, and I guess he handled that quite well, considering sometimes they handle it better than other times. How do you not be the satirist that you are when you're writing for a show like that? Because you must have to be quite restrained. You still need to be funny or have the edge, but you can't say, you know, Tony Abbott's a dickhead.
Well, yeah, and look, that is the level my satire aspires to. You know, obviously, like, so just saying, Tony Abbott is a dickhead. That's what I've been trying to get out on air for years. I'm yet to achieve that ambition. Hopefully, it'll happen at some point. I think you can kind of incorporate satire in, though, often. You know, like, we've done, like, political summaries of stories involving rap, and we had a story where, like, a couple of days ago, where we were covering these, you know, particular issues, a couple of political issues that had occurred, and then there was this great picture of Tony Abbott riding a surfboard, and he dropped in on this 17-year-old girl, right? I don't know whether, like, your average
Jewish is not kosher.
No, it's not kosher. It's not the dumb thing. I don't know anything about surfing. I've gone surfing once, right? Right. And my first thought when I was out on the surfboard was, oh, it's like a giant floaty. I like this. This is going to, I feel a bit safer from the sharks, right? It was quite good. It was confidence building, but that's not particularly cool, is it? Right. And anyway, Abbott's kind of there, and he's doing his classic dad stance, right? And there was this girl just standing on the other end of the, people listening at home should Google this image because it's quite amazing, just looking so like unimpressed, you know, like the smiley face, you know, the side eyes smiley face, like, right? And we integrated that into a story and kind of used it like as a metaphor for his relationship with Malcolm Turnbull, because that kind of is what every time Tony Abbott speaks out, Malcolm Turnbull kind of gives him that side eye in its own kind of way,
you know? How much pressure is there on you to deliver in that space? Are you only as good as your last episode, sort of thing?
I think that's the nature of live TV. Like, I think the show gets held to a very, very high standard, and there's always like ongoing conversations about how we can improve things and make them better. But I think the simple answer is because there's a lot of really good. I sound like I'm sucking up here, but I feel like it's kind of true because there are a lot of really good people working on it, and look, because it's got a settled rhythm.
You're not sucking up. I mean, I've known some of them that have worked on the production side of the show since day one, you know, and it's always, whenever I've had the conversation about the show, everyone has said how amazing it is to be a part of.
Yeah, no, so I really enjoy it. So, I mean, there are moments where you do feel pressure, but I'd say across the board, you don't ever feel like when you feel under pressure, but you feel like there's a team of people who have your back, then it's a different form of pressure. It's kind of a competitive excitement in a way of like, we're going to do a good job here.
And I've pitched stories in the past to some of your producers that have gone on to illustrious things like producing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. No names mentioned, but you know who I mean.
Absolutely. One rung upon a mighty, you know, climbing the Everest
lofty
of television.
Heights.
Absolutely. It's a great show.
And he ignored all my pitches. But anyway, you know, he's gone on to better things.
Maybe you should have been pitching things, you know, about the different kinds of stuff that Shane Warne could eat.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
because that's like, always on your show.
Well, exactly. I mean, there could have been, you know, different kind of content that might have made it on it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. We are speaking with Toby Halligan. He's got a show, actually, as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We'll get to that a little later. But you also write for a women's.
I do, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
I do write for Mamma Mia.
What's that about?
I you're like, well, you're going to explain yourself, young man. I think Mamma Mia has been, you know, doing quite well for a while, and they like to branch out, and I've
here's a left-wing feminist.
Look at you. Thanks, Alan Jones. It's lovely to be here, Alan. Alan, I've got some, I don't know whether you know about this, Alan, but there are universities, and they're referring to the colonisation of Australia as invasion, Alan. Alan, what are you going to do about it, Alan? My feelings have been hurt, Alan. It's political, it's historical correctness gone mad.
Good, it worked.
So I guess there are inevitably it's a website that's interested in relationships and sex and political stuff. So I pitched different kinds of things to them. Like, I wrote a story about an experience I had where I met a gentleman on Grindr, and I went, you know, and we.
What housewives want to know about that?
Because every housewife has gay friends now.
Oh,
I mean, come on, I'm sure you've got housewife friends. I love you think they're housewives. You've got this weird old school view that all the housewives are going online to read Mamma Mia. Yeah, in between preparing the night, the meal for their husband before he gets back from working down the mine.
He's preparing. After tennis, they've got to do something.
Exactly right. So they're on the Twitters. Let me tell you, they're posting comments on Facebook as well. They're doing everything now, the housewives. Yeah, all the Maureen for Malvern. Oh,
I believe
God.
They're even ordering online. They won't have to leave the house anymore. They just order it all online.
It all
so
happens.
You're writing stuff about gay relationships on Mamma Mia.
Yeah, well, but like, you know, inevitably there's spaces there that interact. And so, like, I wrote about safe schools for them and that kind of, you know, was a piece that was read by a few people. I've written about an experience I had where I went over to a gentleman's house and we had a pleasant sexual interaction. And he revealed he had a girlfriend. Afterwards.
Was about to walk through the door?
No. He wasn't like bundling me out. I had to leap out the window and, you know, clamber down naked. It wasn't quite that exciting. It was more just, you know, revealing that, there are a lot of guys in heterosexual relationships who are actually bisexual or just like, you know, hooking up with gay guys.
Down low, I believe.
That's one word to describe those forms of interactions. That's another.
I was lucky enough to turn up to a guy's place once and it was his girlfriend that answered the door, actually.
Really? Yeah. And what happened?
When she welcomed me into the house, into the lounge room, I was presented with him on the couch in a leather mini.
Oh!
Yeah.
A leather mini.
And eyeshadow.
That is exciting. And
which, for my, you know, gay tendencies, wasn't doing it. Fine for those that does.
Yeah, sure.
Was
it the eye? What colour eyeshadow was it? Was it the colour of the eyeshadow?
Blue.
Budgie blue?
Of course. Is there any other colour?
So it would have been a bit like Cleopatra with leather thrown in.
As a former makeup artist myself, I could have done a better job with my eyes closed.
Okay, so what you were offended by was the lack of professionalism.
Thank you.
Okay, I understand this, right? And the leather skirt? Describe the leather skirt.
Now that was special. I'm glad you asked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are we talking like Roman legionary style leather skirt?
No. We're talking
leather mini.
Yeah.
Mini. Oh, cheeky mini. Mm. Right, and solid
and
or straps?
Cheeky in...
Really cheeky?
Certainly at the front end it was.
So do you feel like what happened was the girlfriend had decided to outsource it? It's like, I can't deal with this hot mess.
She then said, don't mind me, I've got stuff to do in the kitchen. And went off. It didn't go anyway.
Oh.
We are with Toby Halligan, who's joining us for this comedy festival edition of Hide and Seek tonight. Now, you do like sticking your nose into the political quagmire.
I do, absolutely. I know the parts of myself.
It's endless... array of content, surely.
Oh, look, well, it's unbelievable right now. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Corey Bernardi and his love of jungle juice or, you know, like Donald Trump and like the fabulous hot mess that is the American election.
What's going on there?
Well, I think what has happened is that, because, I mean, if you look at, like, in nature, naturally brightly coloured things are coloured that way to send a message to people to stay the hell away, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's true of bright orange tree frogs, true of Snooki. And Donald's...
Which, actually, I noticed at the bottom of your Mamma Mia article, Snooki was the most read article.
Oh, that, of course. Absolutely. That's not surprising at all, right? And because Donald's hue is kind of Chernobyl tangerine, right? He's got one of the most unnatural visages in the world, I think. Mm. But I think he's been able to take advantage of these kinds of... Like, politics is... completely based on lies and national myths. You know how, like today, there's been this kind of boring debate about, you know, like the conservative press accusing, because academics have described the colonisation of Australia as an invasion. Mm. Right? That's because, and it clearly, objectively, it is, right? You know, objectively, there were people here, we came and
we
killed
them. Is that
a
new thing?
No. Well, apparently to conservatives. Right. It wasn't a new thing at all. No, this is just in, you know, the Liberal Party's newsletter, the Daily Telegraph, right? It's just, but Trump's just taken a lot of those myths and is just using them to his own ends. Because he looks like the kind of guy, the kind of villain who'd be taken down by the Scooby-Doo gang. Or, you know, a kid whose best friend is a mouse.
Well, he's a media person is in trouble for taking down someone on the way out of a
literally
function.
Physically, yeah. and typically in politics, guys who manhandle women, you would think that would be a problem, but it's
although it did happen to our Prime Minister,
the T-bot,
She was manhandled on the way out of something, but that was for other reasons. I think it was her security that was doing the manhandling.
That's true, actually. Yeah, she did lose a shoe at different points, and there was a bit of rushing around. Yeah, there were a few angry
princess
people.
That's another story.
Cinderella?
That's
the one. Thank you. Is that the one, your Princess and the Pea? What, she was asleep and she got manhandled out of the, you know, there was a, I don't know. It's hard to riff off.
Toby Halligan is our guest on Hide and Seek tonight.
Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard. You're tuned to
Hide and Seek. Is that how they say it in the bit? Hide and Seek. I think it's a show about fisting. I'm not sure. Anyway, Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
I'll never play that one. That's rude.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
Feels like he's here.
Yeah,
feels like he's here, doesn't it?
I don't know why we played that. We are, of course, with Toby Halligan. He is to Toby or not to Toby. That is the question.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That was a slightly clunky pronunciation.
Yeah.
We'll go with it.
Okay. Well, it's your show for Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Absolutely.
Which you've put hours and hours into.
I have. I actually have. Yeah, yeah.
And then totally decided to wear a onesie on the promo.
On the poster. Yeah, I wear a blue unicorn onesie. I do. Well, it's a reference to Bottom. Shakespearean. It's the kind of, you know, Bottom from Midsummer Night's Dream. That's kind of a bit Shakespearean. Yeah, and then the Hamlet thing. You got
it all
that?
The way.
You got that? Yeah. I would have wanted, I would have contemplated wearing it on stage, but it gets
No.
It's so hot. And also, after like a couple of days, it would just become a breeding ground for awful things.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'd be so moist up there.
Too much polyester.
Oh, it's horrible.
We've got a new show starting on Joy called Unicorn Youth.
Oh, really?
I don't know whether we've announced that. I might shut up there. But I had to Google, Google what unicorn meant in a LGBTI sense. I mean, I know it's on My Little Pony, but...
Yeah, well, what does unicorn conventionally mean?
Bisexual.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, well, you know what? That symbolism wasn't necessarily what I was going for. I guess technically...
You're part of the gay comedy mafia. Here, aren't you?
I am. Yes, absolutely. That's definitely something you shouldn't have said on air. You're gonna get a unicorn head in your bed, absolutely, with rainbow spilling out of it.
Yeah.
I certainly know all the gay crew. I was at a gay music festival a couple of weekends
ago.
Caught up with the whole crew. Absolutely, you know, up at Marysville, kind of dancing around in a forest.
I didn't know they were all so earthy.
I think people can get earthy. Do you know what I mean? People can become earthy temporarily. You know, Jaspers and like Scott Brennan and that whole crew.
Oh, he's a bit earthy, yeah.
He's quite earthy, absolutely. Quite earthy overtones. I am part of that, the gay comedy mafia, I guess you could.
So you've slept with them all too?
Well, not yet.
Right.
But then Comedy Festival is young.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything can happen. Mm. You know, like I yeah, what no comment there.
Just
but they, so all two, so you've slept with all of them?
No, I've just watched.
Oh, okay, yeah, great. Yeah, well, I guess they do put it up, you know, on the Poofcast.
Oh, there's Valvo and Creasy and all that.
There's a whole crew, I know.
Who refused to come on the show tonight.
Oh, really? I'm the backup plan.
I'm going on the Murphys on Friday morning. I said, I don't give a shit. You can still come on this show.
Oh, really? And he bailed.
It's a different audience. They're not.
So I was your second choice. No. I was the fourth or fifth choice.
You were the only choice that said yes. They're all on the list. It could have been full of you.
What an honour and a pleasure it is to be here. Oh, you flatterer.
So, tell us about your show. What have you done to make this one impressive? Well, you're on the Imperial. It can't be too bad.
It's very good. Yeah, no, I got 4 stars from the Herald Sun as well. Absolutely. Got compared to
John. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Very
the delightful
good.
And wonderful kind of Herald Sun, yeah. No, I decided I kind of... began writing about, I think, like a bit of the plebiscite crap was happening last year and there was a bit of identity rubbish coming up, and so I kind of wanted to write a show about, you know, fitting into Australia, how gay people fit in, where we fit in, etc., where we fit into Australia's slots. Well, we don't right now, I think generally we fit in.
I look at Tasmania and I go, that's not gay.
That's not gay. They've got a poo machine down there.
A what?
They've got a poo machine. I know, Mona. What are you talking about?
The only
gay is the birds.
State with a poo machine.
Come on, you know, gay men can be bears. I feel like there must be bears who run farms. You know, like harvesting glitter and things like that out there. You know,
not chopping trees down.
No, well, they could be as well. They could be, you know, chopping down, you know, redwoods, etc., or whatever the eucalypts are called down there. So the show originally kind of
leatherwood, I think.
Leatherwood. Oh, really? Are we going back to your story again about the? Things are blending together. And then the Donald Trump stuff started happening, and I kind of began writing a bigger show about, you know, political identity and people having arguments, and safe schools comes up, and I think the gayest thing I've ever seen is kind of now part of it. So it's kind of about you know, how gay people fit in and how I've fitted in, really, you know, with a bit of politics thrown in and a bit of stuff about rugby league players being hot and doing weird things, gay things.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, because a lot of our, like, sporting culture is incredibly gay. Like,
there's a whole series of them, but this YouTube clip of, like, British Army battalion people doing an aerobics exercise in G-strings.
Yeah, yeah.
Campus tits.
I go to a gym called Doherty's.
That's not a misogynist statement. It was just a
campus tits
statement.
No, it's just British. You were reminded about, you know, the Brits used...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm validating you, but don't go after me.
Oh, Britannia.
So I was at this gym I go to, Doherty's, which is also a bodybuilding gym, and I walked in and there were a couple of huge dudes, you know, like dudes who are clearly, you know, there's big, they're real big. They're uncomfortably big, right? And they were so muscular and they're all...
Bit more than protein powder, do you think?
I would hate to suggest that.
No,
I enjoy
course.
Going there and it is next to a bike compound, so I'll be careful with what I say. But they were all oranged up and bronzed up, and part of me thought, this is actually a little too gay for me. Like, I'll go away. Like, because they were literally taking up a large portion of the gym, just looking at one another's muscles and kind of touching one another. And I was kind of like, I like gay affection, I like gay intimacy, but this is your hyper-homosexuality that you think of as masculinity is just off the charts, Dale.
It is a little, yet they don't see it as like that.
No, what I think needs to happen is, because there's a lot of rampaging, like, homoeroticism built into a lot of Australian culture, like in rugby league, for example.
They don't see that either.
Oh, but it's super gay.
Yeah, you look at it from afar and go, hello.
But, like, so, for example, I don't know, your listeners won't know this guy, but there's a guy called Mitchell Pearce who's quite a famous NRL player. He got into trouble in Australia Day earlier this year when he had a big night, right? He drank a lot and he went to a party and he was dancing around the party without his shirt on. Then he walked up to a woman and he kissed her and she said, no, I'm a lesbian, go away, and he walks off. Then he picked up a miniature poodle on a couch and pretended to have sex with it, and someone said, no, stop doing that, so he put the poodle down. Then he pissed on himself on the couch. That is a big minute. Yeah, that is a really big minute.
It is.
Crammed a lot of... Like, we've all done shameful stuff. I can see in your eyes that you have done a lot of things to be ashamed of, right?
But hi, Catherine Devaney here. Is Dean rabbiting on about fisting again? Well...
Sorry, you were saying...
Did you have that prepped up? Yeah, exactly right. But he did all this stuff, and then the rugby league came out and condemned him, and they said he's really dragged the good name of rugby league through the mud,
the
right?
The good name of rugby league.
I know, but this is the same code where, like, a couple of years ago, a player, as he was leaving a pub, urinated directly into another person's lap. The same code where a couple of years ago, a player was filmed with peanut butter on his penis with a Labrador licking it off.
Wasn't there a couple of brothers and a few others in a motel at some stage?
Yeah, there were a bunch of guys in New Zealand, there was a 10-man gangbang with
it.
One woman. Mm. That's crazily gay, right? There was another guy who pissed
not
into his
woman,
own mouth.
Yeah.
No, she's not gay. But like all these naked dudes there kind of beating off. Like, that's too many. I like penises, but that's too many penises in one place, I feel.
Well, I don't know whether you can have too many, but doing wrong things.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
That aren't sexual.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, you know, like it's like a Bernardi Gras, if you like, because I think Corey is quite, he's got a bit of the homoeroticism about him, you know. I feel like there's hard, complex things being channeled through that body.
There was rumour that there was going to be an entry in this year's parade titled Bernardi Gras.
Really?
Mm.
Really? What happened?
That particular person is still pissed off with Mardi Gras and decided not to do it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's disappointing. Yeah.
Nonetheless, I digress. So that's sport. What about our cricketers?
Well, like this weird bloke culture. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at Shane Warne.
Oh.
He's so amazingly vain, but he's so fragile as well. Like, I think one thing you can say in defence of gay people in the gay community, and I talk about this a bit in the show, is that... through having to come out and through having to, because there's so few of us, to meet partners, you've got to go out and just meet random people. Whereas most straight people meet people through their workplace or their friends. Mm. That's how a lot of marriages are formed, yeah? They meet through friendship circles. Whereas when you're gay, you just got to throw yourself out there and just meet randoms.
Yeah, or sleep with them and then decide if you like them.
Oh, yeah, that's obviously mainly what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just being polite.
Yeah.
But you know, you've got to have a thick skin. Whereas you look at someone like a Warnie, like, they're so fragile.
But he's always been like that. I can confess on this show that I've spent 3 days with him
and
his former wife.
Oh, wow.
On
what context was this? When did this happen?
as the hair and makeup artist and stylist for a cover shoot for the new weekly magazine, then almost brand new, like in the first 3 months of its release. And it was the announcement of their engagement.
This is Shane and Simone.
Shane and Simone. Oh. And in his parents' Beaumaris house, I spent 3 days in the front lounge room with Shane and Simone.
Wait, how long? This is for one shoot?
For one shoot. Yeah, it was a cover story.
What? 3 days?
Well, it was a pictorial sort of, you know, the engagement. And lots how of happy they outfits. Are, walking down the beach.
Of course.
Different outfits. I was so pleased when Simone ended up wearing my fisting bandana around her neck for the cover. She never knew. Never knew.
Your fisting bandana?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean your fisting bandana?
Well, it's a red bandana.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. So is that how you send code that you want to be fisted?
Yeah. Well, yes.
So if I go...
Not when you're wearing a white lacy shirt, but when you're wearing, you know, a leather harness.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Which she wasn't wearing.
Okay.
Don't misinterpret that.
No. There's no scope for misinterpreting the possibilities of Simone Warne wearing a fisting bandana. No, there's no... Absolutely not. There aren't, or Shane Warne, there aren't layers to that possible imagery.
Not at all.
You haven't just afflicted your audience with, I mean, I guess cricketing gloves. I can see why. Do you know what I mean? Would that be too much? That'd be very cool.
I'm on fire. Hide and seek.
Fireball.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Dean Beck with you tonight on Hide and Seek, and Toby Halligan is my guest. Toby is his stand-up show for Melbourne International Comedy Festival. He is one of Australia's brightest comedic talents, according to our very own Herald Sun.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful contribution they make to Australia's culture.
Yeah, and you got another good gong from them this time around.
Yeah, I certainly did. Yeah, no, it's lovely. It was very, very nice. I got compared to John Oliver and people like that, which might be a bit much, but it was delightful. It was absolutely delightful.
Got to be happy with that.
Yeah, very pleased. No, very pleased.
Now, we were talking about our international ambassador and all-round good guy.
Absolutely, Warney. Well, he's a fascinating little microcosm, isn't he? Because you were saying off air, I don't know whether you're happy for this story to continue, but at one point you were driving in the car with him and you've got this amazing shot of him looking back at you in the mirror,
In
the back. Right, and that behind those eyes, so you spend a bit of time talking to him, there's just nothing, there's just not a lot there.
I was up very close and personal, applying his makeup and doing his hair. For the photo shoot. He had a bit of hair back then.
And this is when he was young. So that was when he had his own skin as well.
It did, yeah. And it was kind of a skin colour.
Yeah, it's a nice, the good old days of Warney, Because I think Warney is a bit of a microcosm for Australian culture in a lot of ways. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a bit of a larrikin,
greatest export.
He's great. It's sad because it's so true, right? But he needed to, he kind of needs international validation. But, superficially, he's a lot of fun, but there's not actually that much, there's not that much depth necessarily. Do you know what I mean? And I love Australia. I'm not having you go, I love Warney too, but there's nothing behind.
A fair bit of depth to the foundation.
Well, there's depth.
I've
got to be a little careful. I'm a trained lawyer, so I've got to be a little careful with what I say in this riff here. Suffice to say, it is certainly deep in something.
It is indeed. What did you deserve to study law?
I grew up in Canberra. So in Canberra, that was what you do.
Got it.
Yeah, and so I had a brief flirtation with wanting to go into student politics, I think, as well. And law was just kind of
the
natural...
That's a limited career span.
I know. Well, I went into student politics and then I realised the people around me were just, you know...
Student politicians.
Yeah, the human dildos. Yeah, they're vile. They're a vile mass of awful people. I mean, speaking of fisting, I've got to say, you know... So I was going to say this before, but one of the solutions, I think, to Australia's rampant masculinity problem is I think the ability to have the bottom rib removed for heterosexual men should be put on Medicare, because that is, according to urban legends, how you facilitate autofellatio. Because I think that's according to rumours I've heard, when I was a kid, so they're probably wrong. But I feel like that would help solve a lot of problems. It would save women from a lot of harassment and bullshit. It would help the,
It would.
I think it would deal with homophobia, because even if you've got a dick in your mouth. You've got a dick in your mouth, even if it's your dick.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of Australia's political culture would be saved from, you know, a lot of these people would just stay at home and, well, carry on.
No longer be dickheads, you'd just be dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have you know, I mean, you make light of my prowess and talents, but I was on Triple J. I was on Triple J on Easter Sunday, no less, with Hannah and the new sex show on Triple J, talking about the same subject.
About autofellatio?
No, fisting.
Fisting. So tell me more about fisting. Your listeners.
You're my guest. I'm doing the interview.
Okay, sure. Fair enough.
What do you want to know?
I
can tell you that on the 14th of May, Saturday at 2 p.m., one of my famous seminars will be held at Manhouse, and bookings are online, sponsored by the Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria. So you can come along to my seminar.
Right, where you explain how to fist.
Yeah.
That is quite amazing.
There you go.
Right, because I wonder. Is fisting, like, is that something that crosses into... like
it's the new black.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
So I should get on board, really.
Well,
I've never I've never tried it. I've never... I mean, what's the perk of it? What are the benefits? If only we were on screen. The facial expression that just crossed your face, Mr. Beck.
Toby Halligan, amazing. Who won't be on stage talking about this subject, but will be on stage. Oh. I don't know, being funny.
Speaking of fisting, though, one of the stories I tell on the show is probably my favourite story I've ever told, which is about an event that happened at Midsummer Mooning.
Which year?
This year.
Okay.
That involved a goon bag and an anal cavity. And a bit of fruity lexia.
What do the straighty 180s think of that one?
They love it.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, they absolutely... And I've not just done this to my audience as well, right? Because it's easy to do a comedy festival show and, you know, you'll draw a certain kind of crowd. I've done it at the Comics Lounge, which is kind of in North Melbourne.
Real straighty 180.
Yeah, like, and I've done it multiple times and they love it.
Demonstrate?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
cool. I'm naked during the bit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, doling out free drinks. You're
taking the ribs out.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly, I'm bent over myself, pouring people glasses of goon from my bum. Yeah, that's what's going on.
What could possibly go wrong?
That's the whole show, though. I mean, we don't want to give away the whole show, really. Yeah.
Have you gone along to any of your colleagues' shows for Comedy Festival this year?
At the Project? Or,
No. Just
I haven't, no.
Your fellow
no,
I haven't yet. No. Mafia.
No, not yet. I've been between work and the just doing the show, just haven't had time as of yet. But I'm looking forward to a bunch of shows, I think, next week. I think it'll be very exciting, yeah.
And you said your show's been going very, very well thus far. You've got a season left? No, actually, three shows left.
Yeah.
Three shows left.
It's 10:15 tomorrow and Friday night, and it's 3:30 on Saturday, 3:30 in the afternoon.
Get along and see Toby Halligan. It's on at the Imperial Hotel, just around the corner from here at Joy 94.9, on the corner of Burke and... Spring. Up the road a bit.
Absolutely.
And to Toby or not to Toby, good luck
Thank you very much.
Of your season. And tell me, just before you go, what is Legally Brown?
Legally Brown, SBS show hosted by Nazim Hussain. Did you think it was
SBS?
Another fisting thing? You thought it was a fisting,
no,
a fisting instructional
that.
Documentary?
No.
yeah, it's an SBS show hosted by Nazim Hussain.
Well, thank you. Again, for joining us on Hide and Seek. And,
it was a delight and a pleasure.
Chookers for the rest of your show.
Thank you so much, Tal.
Dean Beck with you on Hide and Seek. That is Toby Halligan. Hide
and Seek. Matthew Mitchum here, enjoying a reverse 2.5 twist on Hide and Seek. God, these diving puns are just terrible.
Thank you very much for joining me on Hide and Seek. The Strip Down Boys are stripping off next. And don't forget to tune in to my very last edition of On the Line tomorrow. After 272 shows, it's goodbye. It's the end of the line for On the Line. And it's the beginning of The Informer, starting next Monday at 6:30 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. Till next time, keep well, take care, bye for now.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.